KBBI's Morning News is sponsored by the Homer Foundation, where giving is more than a gift, it's an investment in the place we call home. For 35 years, we've connected generosity to community need on the Southern Kenai Peninsula, providing more than $6 million in local grants and scholarships. Your gift supports students, strengthens nonprofits, and creates a legacy for the future. Give today or plan a gift for tomorrow by visiting homerfoundation.org. The Homer Foundation, building community through generosity.
It's Tuesday, January 13th, 2026. I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Morning News. The Homer City Council recognized a longtime community member, funded repair work at the Homer Education and Recreation Complex, and more at its meeting last night. The Homer City Council honored Elaine Grabowski with a proclamation highlighting her decades of service with the fire department, her school safety programs, and her community work. During the meeting, visitors from the fire department also presented Grabowski's fire helmet to her husband. The council spent its first meeting of the year setting aside money and making plans for city upgrades. The council introduced several ordinances through the consent agenda. One plan would put $25,000 toward repairs for the Herc Building gymnasium floor. The council also moved to accept $7,000 from the Homer Pickleball Club for that work. The club is one of the groups that utilize the space. The council also introduced an ordinance that would set aside $10,000 for the installation of a push-button door opener at the lower entrance to City Hall, and another would set aside $40,000 for a new sidewalk tractor. Members pulled a public records policy update from the consent agenda to debate it separately later in the night. The council approved multiple items through the consent agenda as well. The council okayed a sublease for a bus company to operate out of the Homer Airport, giving the business a permanent base for travel between Homer and Anchorage. The council also signed off on a yearly plan to share state fish tax revenue with 9 other Cook Inlet communities. That program pays towns for the impact of regional fishing by splitting the money between an even divide and population size. The council also confirmed several appointments, including city treasurer and acting manager roles, as well as a new member for the Library Advisory Board. Members signed off on the Salty Dog Saloon's liquor license renewal and authorized the fire department to apply for a grant to buy new emergency pagers. Finally, the city cleared travel for the mayor and council to attend a statewide municipal conference in Juneau this February. In public hearings, the council finalized a $6,000 grant for library internet. They also approved $7,000 for the Herc activity room floor, adding to the other floor projects the city handled that night. Members then turned to a proposal for new road design rules, substituting a version that allows for more engineering flexibility. They amended the plan to follow standard engineering tables for street widths instead of fixed measurements, and clarified rules for shoulders and rights of way. Members eventually delayed a final vote until January 26th to address snow removal concerns and get more feedback from local contractors. Finally, the city opened a hearing for budget adjustments, but no residents came forward to testify. Following the public hearing, the council introduced a new fee schedule for the Homer Harbor. The council shot down a proposed 10-day harbor rate after the port director warned it would overcomplicate the city's current fee system. Members also introduced an update to the public records policy that moves management duties to the city clerk and sends appeals over denied records to Superior Court instead of the city council. Items introduced during the meeting will return for public comment at the next meeting. In pending business, the council awarded Turnagain Marine Construction $515,000 for the first stage of engineering for a new harbor float system. Members amended the deal to ensure the city manager only moves forward with the rest of the $22 million project once the city successfully secures a federal grant. Finally, the council voted 5-1 to send formal comments to the federal government regarding its offshore oil and gas leasing program in Cook Inlet. Councilmember Jason Davis stripped out language, speculating on oil company goals, and a section regarding Navy training. He also swapped a claim that the program showed disrespect to residents for a statement calling the plan ill-advised. Councilmember Shelley Erickson cast the lone dissenting vote, citing concerns about unintended political consequences for the city. The council's next regular meeting is scheduled for Monday, January 26th. Ian Homer, I'm Simon Lopez. Alaska's Forestry Division says it understands the Caribou Hills are best kept for recreational use as it considers creating a Kenai Peninsula State Forest. The division held multiple public meetings on the peninsula to gauge interest in the issue and heard multiple concerns about public access to the popular recreation area on the southern peninsula. Lily Coyle is the Forestry Division's Special Projects Coordinator. She moderated a virtual public meeting last month. The state issued a call for input on a potential Kenai Peninsula State Forest in November.
If we did get overwhelmingly, you know, positive feedback on this idea of establishing a state forest and went to, you know, proceed to the next step, which would be putting together a state forest proposal that would be looking at specific areas to include that Caribou Hills area, it wouldn't make sense to include it really because it's classified as, you know, best use recreation.
The state still doesn't have an exact map of what area is being considered for inclusion. Diane Campbell is the area forester for Kenai and Kodiak. She emphasized the state forest concept isn't an official proposal yet.
We want to start off by saying there has been no proposal. There is no proposal written at this time. This is strictly an outreach to get community interest and to inform the community of what we're thinking.
The division has succeeded in getting community interest. After the public notice was published, pushback came swiftly from parts of the peninsula. Snowmachiners in the Caribou Hills area near Homer, for instance, have expressed concerns about access to existing trails on state land. And Coyle says the state has listened.
We've heard, you know, loud and clear from the public that there would be no interest in having that be a part of a state forest proposal.
A state forest can only be designated by the Alaska legislature. If the Forestry Division determines there is enough public interest, they'll draft a formal proposal and forward it to the Alaska Department of Natural Resources Commissioner. The commissioner would then bring it to lawmakers. Creating a Kenai Peninsula State Forest would shift management authority over existing state land on the peninsula from the Division of Mining, Land and Water to Forestry. Coyle says the change would boost timber management, such as for harvest and regeneration after the latest spruce bark beetle outbreak, but access to existing resources, like trails, would be a priority too.
On the Kenai Peninsula, there is a desire, you know, at the Division of Forestry, as well as at DNR, to just help enable more active management to try and help kind of rebuild and re-strengthen that forest canopy, as well as try and reestablish and support local small industry on the peninsula.
The Alaska Division of Forestry is accepting public input on its Kenai Peninsula Forest idea through January 16th. Comments can be submitted online or by mail. You are listening to KBBI AM 890 Homer, 88.1 FM in Seward, through translator K201AO and kbbi.org online. News tips and story ideas can be sent to news@kbbi.org. This morning's newscast included a story from KDLL's Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for listening, and good morning.